When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
And I say, hey, what a wonderful kind of day. If you could learn to work and play and get along with each other.
Welcome, everybody, to the Wins and Wargames, episode 15. Toss a coin to your larrikin. I'm your millennial host, Gary Kidney, with my Gen Z host, Liam Jones, is here.
No! I hate it already. Start again.
No. People must know. Liam was very upset last week when we finished recording the podcast. He was like, I'm a millennial. I ate avocado toast. And I'm like,
No. You said I was a millennial because I was eating avocado toast.
I was like, that's a very millennial thing of you to do there, Liam. And then Liam discovered he was in fact born in 1997, and that is the cutoff for Gen Z.
Bad boys. What you gonna do?
Are you excited for the upcoming release of Bad Boys for Life? I haven't seen either of the other two Bad Boys films, but I'm going to see Bad Boys for Life.
You should marathon the other two Bad Boy films before you go and see Bad Boys for Life.
Well, considering I'm recording this at 4:33 in the morning, that seems unlikely.
They should do a Bad Boys 3, and then it should have been Bad Boys 4 Life.
Ah, you see, this is why you should be a film executive, and these people shouldn't be making their films.
Yeah, I am a production leader.
Indeed.
Welcome. As we could tell from all of the mishaps before this filming or recording.
Yes, Liam, first of all, his hair, I think, was getting on his microphone. He doesn't know how microphones work. And then he decided, just as we were literally about to hit start and recording the podcast, his computer decided to update, which is very unprofessional of him and his computer.
Yeah, you might have to replace both of us.
And again, let me reiterate, 4:34 in the morning now.
Ah, 3:34 p.m.
This is what Liam
does to me. Who will be the more energetic?
Listen, I'm always high energy. I will wake people up with my high energy, like Hiroshi Tanahashi and his infinitely
Got
superior
S.
theme song.
Got S.
As usual, we have NXT and AEW to cover. Last week, NXT was the superior show, so we are covering WNXT first. Liam, let me tell you, Keith Lee opened WNXT. How did you feel about that?
Keith Lee, the man of the hour. I forget his old name. Keith Lee's cool.
WWE has a remarkable ability to alienate me on their television shows within the first, 5 minutes.
You don't like the start the show off with a promo.
It's not even the promo. It's the promos they do where Keith Lee comes out. It's like, some people say Undisputed Era had a great 2019, or end of 2019, but mine was even better. By what
no,
measure?
No, it wasn't, you dope! Yeah. He didn't win anything!
He got pinned at Survivor Series, they lost the tag title match, then he became number one contender, and he lost the frickin' triple threat to become number one contender for the NXT title. He had a pretty actually bad end of 2019, Liam. His end of 2019 was not only not good, it was actively bad.
Yeah, he's a liar. Or he's delusional. Is that the character? Delusional Keith Lee.
Yeah, and then they were like, he was like, oh, they're limited. And he turns and he pauses and he looks at the camera. But I am limitless. And I'm like, oh, for God's sake.
But he looked like, he's like looking at the camera like, man, I'm such a cool guy. Did you hear my cool guy catchphrase?
That's my problem with WWE promos. It's just like, he's out there to say his catchphrase, and the one thing he actually had to say about how great the end of his 2019 was demonstrably false. It's like, there's just, it's literally no substance. It's the opposite of substance, and he's a babyface.
He's just lying.
He'll face Roderick Strong next week. Then the Undisputed Era came out. They were like, you're a dummy. They beat him up 4-on-1. They hit his leg with a stomp on a chair, I guess.
It was a Pillmanizer ring.
Indeed, before Tommaso Ciampa made the save.
Wow, what a unique segment.
Yes, keep it in mind. It will sound familiar after we talk about the Broserweights. Sorry, I nearly said Bruiserweights.
Bro.
Okay, what is it? The South Wales Subculture? What is that the name
South
of their team?
South Wales Subculture.
That's the worst team name in the history of the world, which is Flash Morgan Webster and Mark Andrews in what was a damn good wrestling match.
This is what I want from NXT.
I know, I just right? want
fun bullshit.
Fair enough, like, you put Mark Andrews and Pete Dunne in the ring together. These two have wrestled, like, 75 times since they were children. Literal children.
Flips and forearms, baby.
Yeah, so these two know how to have a pro wrestling match. Obviously, Matt Riddle is great. Mark Andrews, man. I love Mark Andrews. And he, like, he's been on television since 2016. He did nothing in TNA for a year before he left. And then, like, he's done absolutely nothing in WWE because he's squandered in the stupid fake promotion.
He was one of the four pillars originally.
Fake promotion. And then he's on NXT.
He was the Tawei.
And like, God, he's so good. I love Mark Andrews. And he was so good in this match. And I'm like, I just want good Mark Andrews on television. Not sequestered over in the crappy show that's like, oh, are you watching Vince McMahon? No, he's not. He's never watched. He doesn't know that the freaking sub-brand exists.
Do you think he knows the Sub Whale subculture?
I think Vince McMahon is a very big fan of the South Wales subcultures.
Well, shit, I said Sub Whales.
Yes, it's below whales, yes. The subculture is below whales.
It's so subculture, it's below the actual landmass.
Or to go with the misspelling frequently on WWE social media, it's below, like, Whales the animal.
Oh, did they actually fuck that up?
Multiple times, they accidentally tweet Wales, as in W-H-A-L-E-S, rather than Wales, as in W-A-L-E-S, the country.
Seems like an eternal blight of the country.
So, like, plankton underneath a whale or whatever, just catching a ride. There you go.
That's a sick promo for a WWE heel to cut.
Yeah, that's the sub-whale subculture. But yeah, that's this match.
That's a Kona Reeves promo.
It sure is. If he was a real wrestler in a real wrestling company. This match, yeah, great match. I thought maybe slightly too long, maybe didn't need to go through two breaks, and maybe peaked about 2 minutes early, but yeah, oh, the action was great. This match, God, good wrestling.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't think it went too long. I like having these opening NXT matches that go like 18-20 minutes. They only work when they work, but when they work, they're like this, and they hit it out the park. Like, the other one was, ironically, involving Matt Riddle as well, the Riddle-Cole match, and this just reminded me of that.
See, you know what would make this work? And what actually actively made it didn't work was the fact that they started the match after the opening promo, so that they had to go straight to break, and then they did some of the match, and they went straight. So if they opened the show, Liam, with this wrestling match, and then went to one break, and then did the rest of the wrestling match, there you go. I fixed NXT's format by getting rid of the crappy, lying Keith Lee promo that you'll see again straight after this segment.
I was going to say, speaking of the excellent formatting...
Yeah. Seek out this match. Matt Riddle and Pete Dunne against Flash, Morgan Webster, and Mark Andrews. Great wrestling match. Tommaso Ciampa comes to the ring, and he's like, I'm mad at Undisputed Era. Then Undisputed Era come out and attack him 4-on-1 before Johnny Gargano's music hits, and he makes the save. If that sounds remarkably familiar, that is literally a copy and paste of the opening segment.
Of what happened 20 minutes ago.
Like, literally, it's not even like, you know, at the end of the show they do it again. It's like, they do that segment, they have a wrestling match, then they do that segment again with most of the principal parties involved. It's just, Tommaso Ciampa falls into the Keith Lee role, and then you have Gargano making the save instead. It's like, what are you doing? Did no one look at this format and go like, it's the same?
I remember as I was watching it, I was just like slightly going, no, 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 no!
It's funny, Liam mentioned in Slack, in the Voices Wrestling Slack, it's like, oh, they did the same segment. And if you go like 3 hours earlier, there is also me saying in the Voices Wrestling Slack, they just did the exact same segment.
People in the Slack also responded to my thing like, wait, which one? And I was like, so no one just listened to yours?
That's a reoccurring theme, that no one listens to the sound of my voice or written words.
But we do read your words in your voice.
Yes. Which you better. Do you read words in my voice, Liam?
I think, like, not, like, in the, like, literally, but, mm-hmm. like, there's, like, a tiny version of you, kind of, like, it mixes with the voice in my head.
So there's, like, there's a real me, and then there's, like, the ideal me formed in your head that's the way I sound to you.
No, because the ideal you wouldn't write the things that you write.
Oh, that's a heavy shot. That's unnecessary. Again, 4:41 in the morning, you're taking these shots at me. I'm depriving myself of sleep to record this podcast with you out of sympathy for you blowing your back out while lifting a table. And I'm like, okay, we'll delay the podcast because I'm kind and I'm considerate and I'm caring and I'm compassionate and I'm a nice human being.
You know what kind, considerate, caring, and passionate people do? They bring it up constantly.
Yes, and that's four ways of saying the exact same thing, but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, 4:42 in the morning, Liam, and there is you being mean to me, your poor beleaguered co-host.
Well, Garrett, I think you're just splitting hairs about the time.
Solid segue. Grizzled young veterans defeated the time splitters in their first round match in the Dusty Classic. I'm going to spoil our podcast, Liam. No matter how good NXT was, I refuse, out of principle, to give NXT a victory just because they had time splitters lose in the opening round of the Dusty Classic.
Alex Shelley, as is well documented, and as you know, Garrett, is one of my favorite wrestlers ever. And I was like, yeah, he's here, he's fired up, he looks like he's putting in like more effort than he has in a while. I was like, yes, this is going to be great. Time splitters are going to make it to the finals, and they'll probably wrestle Red Dragon. It'll be like 2014 New Japan, and then they lost.
And do you know, have you seen the brackets? Because their next match, had they went through, would in fact have been against Red Dragon.
Yay.
The match wasn't even that good either. It was fine.
Yeah, but like, we've seen Shelley in Ring of Honor over the past 3 years. I still think, you know, just watching him move, you can tell that he's putting in a bit more effort. Yeah, and I appreciate that from one of my favorite wrestlers ever.
That they had lose to Zach Gibson and James Drake.
I like Zach Gibson and James Grape is what I was going to call him.
He's Grape.
But yeah, I like them. They can deliver a big match. And like, if they go to the finals, they'll probably have a good match with whoever, with the Broserweights.
Yeah, you might as well go all the way if you're going to push one of these teams. And you knocked out the other, like, probably the actual best team.
Well, I was going to say, like, it's either going to be the Imperium versus Red Dragon, or it's going to be Broserweights versus Grizzled Young Vets, because they will want to do an NXT versus NXT UK finals.
And I would hazard a guess that the Imperium will lose and then result in them having a 4-on-4 match against the Undisputed Era, as opposed to splitting that into multiple matches.
I feel like, didn't they already announce a 4-versus-4 match?
Did they make that official, or was it just inferred?
I'm pretty sure that's what they announced on the clip show.
Well, so much for that. Never mind. Just ignore the fact that these people are having matches.
Are the finals not at Worlds Collide?
I'm pretty sure they are at Worlds Collide. The semifinals are next week. Let me check the current Worlds Collide card according to Wikipedia. Which, by the way, by all accounts, this show is not selling particularly well. I couldn't imagine why. Apparently, according to Wikipedia, there's nothing about the finals being on the show, but the 8-man tag is in fact official.
So, yeah, then I guess Imperium and Red Dragon are losing.
Or maybe the Worlds Collide finals are on NXT in 2 weeks.
Well, that just seems like a waste.
Or the week after Worlds Collide. I don't know.
Are you excited for... I was going to skip ahead, but we'll get there.
Yeah. Time Splitters lost. The stupid show.
Yeah. It was a good match. I thought it was pretty fun.
It was fine. Chelsea Green looks like a different human being.
Yeah, she's... I don't know what happened, but... Like, I think she looks cool.
Of the multiple incarnations of her, like Laurel Van Ness and regular Chelsea Green and like pre-Laurel Van Ness all those names.
Chelsea Von Green.
Yes. She looks very different from all of them, and it's strange and it's off-putting.
I don't know. I think she looks like cool. Like she's meant to be like kind of this cool, better than thou shtick, and I like it.
I did like that Robbie E was like, Nerd Battle Royal. She's not going to be in that. She's too big a star for the Nerd Battle Royal.
Yeah, Nerd Battle Royal for the title number one contendership.
With all the other women in the company.
I was going to say, like, imagine if, like, this was a shoot and Robert Stone was her legitimate manager and she's like, wait, why did you take me out of a match where I could become number one contender?
Don't worry about it. It's fine.
And he's just like, nah, it's because you're hot. And she's like, it's true.
You see, no one else was on the list, so they're not deserving. And they should bring in Rob Terry. Just for the sweaters, they should bring in Rob Terry.
They won't wear the sweaters, though. They're wearing Tony Khan suits.
That's true. Isaiah Scott defeated Lio Rush and Tyler Breeze to book a slot in the Cruiserweight Championship match. It's a four-way, isn't it?
Yes.
That's the thing they're doing.
NXT UK members will be...
Yeah, two fake wrestlers will round out the match. I liked this match. I thought this match... felt, I don't know, I think this was, there's a great 8-minute match inside this. It was apparently 13 minutes, but it felt longer, and that's probably the problem.
Then, yeah, I think maybe both shows can learn from this, but like they should both maybe cut 3 minutes off any match they have planned.
I think we'll, there's a particular match on AEW Dynamite that 100% needed to go considerably shorter, but we'll get to that.
Or not go at all.
Yes, maybe. Perhaps not exist in the first place, but if it were to exist, certainly should not have been a 2-segment wrestling match.
Damn we'll talk about that. Mel. Fucking Mel. Who goes with Mel?
She's just... I'm not sure, is it funny or am I sleep deprived?
It's, well, I don't know. I'm not sure if it's funny or if it's these painkillers I'm on.
The Nightmare Collective or Voodoo. It's your name is Mel.
You are leaving this entire bit in.
All right.
Isaiah Scott defeats Leo Rush and Tyler Breeze with the JML driver.
More like the JML driver.
Oh no.
Alright. I think I have it together. Scott's going to Worlds Collide. The match was alright.
Yeah. I have nothing.
Johnny Gargano was they're with Tommaso Ciampa, and he's like, Mustache Mountain want to fight us, and we'll do it. That was about it.
That match will be really good.
It was.
Did you watch the NXT UK takeover?
I watched most of it.
Did you watch the Tyler Bate Jordan Devlin match?
I did.
Wow, you should talk about it, because I haven't.
I thought it was a very good version of that match, but I am a tad numb to their style. Because basically that same kind of match happens on NXT twice a week.
Yeah, it just doesn't happen on NXT UK.
That's probably true, but there's truly no way of knowing. I was very mad here, because as we mentioned, Keith Lee's leg got violently assaulted earlier in the show.
He was just walking around like a dude.
Yeah, and like even earlier in the show, after his leg got violently assaulted, they were like, oh, the doctors are checking on him and he might not be able to make the match next week, or he might be hurt. And then here, he's just coming up, beating up security, fighting with the Undisputed Era, giving out about Roderick Strong, and he's fine. It's like, what was the point?
He threw a man through a bush, damn it.
He did pounce a man through a bush and threw a man through a car window. Or a windshield. But,
oh, into one.
Well, the windshield shattered, so there you go.
Yeah, but he didn't go through into the front seat, did he?
I don't know. Maybe he rolled.
This is an unnecessary like point of contention.
Keith Lee, perfectly fine here, apparently. His knee's doing good. If their match next week is built around the fact that his knee is hurt, I will have serious problems with it, because very clearly, he's fine.
Nah, much like most of the WWE audience, I will forget about it and not care.
And then we had our main event, which was the Battle Royal for the NXT number one contendership.
That I assume went 50 minutes.
It was 22 minutes, according to our fan Larry C.
That's wrong.
It featured Candice LeRae, Mia Yim, Bianca Belair, Casey Catanzaro, American Ninja Warrior is back.
But I thought she died.
The debuting Mercedes Martinez, Shotzi Blackheart. Was Dakota Kai in this match?
I don't remember being in the match.
Larry says she was, but... God, were there this many people in this match? Vanessa Borg, Caden Carter, Santana Garrett, Io Shirai?
Wasn't in it because Mauro had a whole quote about like something about her absence during the match.
And yeah, she took out... what's her name?
Oh yeah, classic what's her name.
This is, as I said, if you take me, it was there being off over Christmas. Tegan Knox, there we go. She took out Tegan Knox later in the match, so I don't think she was in the match. If she was in the match, I don't remember in the match. But then again,
she gave up.
Do you remember MJ Jenkins in the match? I don't either. And Larry says she was there.
Do you remember Jesse?
No.
Poor Gianna Perrazzo.
Sure, like Chelsea
Green gets like this whole new character after like the Raw thing, and then they're just like, ah, Gianna, get in the Nerd Battle Royal. I'd like it if Robert Stone had already signed her and was like, Chelsea can't be in the Nerd Battle Royal. Well, I'll chuck Gianna in though.
She fits the nerd bill quite well.
I like Gianna.
But yes, this was a battle royal, so it was very unmemorable. The only thing
I don't like battle royals.
Did you like this battle royal?
No, it was boring.
There you go. So
I didn't like the 10-minute like Royal Rumble fatal like Final Four shtick either.
Yeah, the best thing about this match was when Dakota Kai took out Tegan Nox and then threw the knee brace right at the face of Tegan Nox, and it was fantastic. Just mean. And like Tegan Nox didn't get her hand up or anything, it just hit her in the face. It was hilarious.
Dakota Kai's real mean now.
Yeah, Dakota Kai's great. She should win this match. But yeah, screw Bianca Belair. I was like, you were after the match, you were like, oh, Bianca Belair won, huh? And I was like, did she? Oh, she did.
It seems like a real stupid decision.
And I watched the show like
I think she's done. Like to me, she's her NXT run is like over.
Mm.
Also, shout outs to Indy Hartwell, who was in this match. Australian represent.
There you go. They were building up Candice LeRae as well as like the potential next challenger. You know, it was, oh, Toni Storm and Candice LeRae, look at that Rhea Ripley's title. But no, it's going to be Bianca Belair.
It's going to be Bianca Belair versus Toni Storm. Well, it when could she well be. Wins.
Is that, those aren't title matches, are they? Oh, they are title matches. Never mind.
That was the whole point. Toni came out and was like, hey, want your belt.
That is NXT.
Did Toni win the NXT UK women's title?
That's why I was like, is that a title match? I don't remember. There's truly no way of knowing. I can check very quickly.
Thank you for checking. I know nothing of the NXT UK results.
Kaylee Ray retained.
I stopped paying attention to UK results a year ago.
You didn't watch Walter and Joe Coffey? Unnecessarily long ladder match that had Gallus win for reasons beyond comprehension.
Did the Walter Joe Coffey continue the tradition of a 30-minute main event at the NXT UK takeovers?
In their defense, it was only 27 minutes.
Ah, well, that's justifiable.
That's acceptable. God, that match was at least 15 minutes too long.
This was a good show. But why did Alex Shelley lose?
I really, 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 really liked that opening match. And the rest was kind of there.
I really liked the opening match, and I liked the three-way a lot. Hmm. And I even liked the tag match more than you, too, so I was pretty high on everything except for the Battle Royal.
Yeah, the opening tag is great. All right, AEW Dynamite. So we had the 50-50 shot. I ran a Twitter poll on my own Twitter.
I haven't voted yet.
On my own Twitter. No. Before this show. It's like, we have a 50-50 chance. Is it going to be a good Dynamite or a bad Dynamite? And people, 70-odd% voted good Dynamite, and they were correct. It was a good episode of AEW Dynamite.
Oh, is this the second week? Which means it must be, yes.
Yes.
Every 2 weeks.
So yeah, we went good week, bad week, good week. Next week's on the boat, so really that episode could go any which way.
So if someone doesn't get thrown off the boat, it's automatically a bad week.
Yes, and on the same principle that Time Splitters Lost makes NXT a bad wrestling show this week. If someone doesn't get thrown off the boat, AEW is a bad wrestling show next week.
Mm-hmm. Who is your vote to be thrown off the boat?
I like Joey Janela, probably.
To me, it screams Darby, but... Well, Janela has a match confirmed, so...
Yeah, he's wrestling Phoenix. If Phoenix could do something dopey off the boat, that would be hilarious.
Well, because we're talking about Janela now, and it's not like he had a major thing on the show. I really liked his promo this week.
I didn't!
Wow!
So we'll start with you. Why did you like it?
I liked the promo because when I was watching it, and I was like, the aesthetic that he had, like, I think he's finally perfected the Janela look of, like, ultra scumbag.
Mm-hmm.
And while he was doing that, he was cutting a straight up 80s WWE promo, and I was like, we don't really get those kind of promos anymore, so I was fine with it. I really liked it.
The reason I didn't like it, and I don't like most of his promos, is I don't really believe him. I don't think he can do like sincerity very well.
This is the first time I did believe him. That's why. Like all the other times, it just seems like a shy little kid pretending to be this cool guy. Yeah. This is the one where I was like, I feel like he would jump off the boat.
Well, yeah, I believe he'd jump off the boat, but I don't believe he's like seriously trying to fight somebody. When he's like, I have to bounce back from my 29, it's like, I don't believe you care about any of that.
Maybe that was that tinge of insincerity is what made me think of it being as an 80s promo, and that's why I liked it.
Yeah, he was a small part of that show. He will face Phoenix next week. We open the show with the Young Bucks against Santana Ortiz, against Kenny Omega and Adam Page, against the Best Friends in a just big, dumb, stupid spot fest.
Yeah. As you watched the NXT TakeOver UK, Garrett, which four-way tag match was better?
while the NXT UK TakeOver ladder match was actively boring, and this was a tremendous wrestling match, so it's really not much of a contest.
But one had ladders, and one didn't.
It's funny, when you watch ladder matches, it's like, these people don't really know how to do ladder matches, and you can always tell, it's just like the pacing is wrong, and like there's a balance between setup and payoff that you need to do. If it's too much payoff, it becomes numb. If it's too much setup, it becomes boring. It needs like that perfect balance. And too many people, it's just too much setup and too much like doing ladder spots that aren't all that impressive, and they don't build anything, it doesn't go anywhere, and it's always contrived. And they always do that dumb spot where they set up like three ladders in the ring and all of them climb at once. It's like, that never goes anywhere. Why does everybody do that spot? And it's never good in any wrestling match.
It's like, meanwhile, this match was the complete opposite, because like none of their like big spots felt so contrived. Everything felt like it was a lot like go 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 go, but nothing felt like it had this millennia of setup to it.
Yeah, it's just like people come in, hit their moves, people come in, hit their moves, in and out, easy transitions.
This match was super fun.
I love this match. This match is great. You have a great Orange Cassidy spot.
Yes, one of my favorite spots in this match too, and I don't even really point out spots when I review things, but they hit the double Jerry Lynn power drivers.
They did.
Which Larry Zonka here incorrectly dubbed as the Gotch power driver, which the Gotch power driver is a pull up with the Gotch style, and the Jerry Lynn is throwing it up at the top. So yes.
The cradle pile driver, where the Gotch pile driver is like you hook the legs, but then kind of styles clash them.
Yeah.
Yeah. This match ruled. This match is just like. And this is the best, far and away, I think, the best Santana and Ortiz have looked in this company.
They felt like a real team. Like, you saw them and you're like, these people... Yeah. You know how there was that discussion in WWE documentaries a long time ago that I used to watch, where they would be like, there's a difference between people who come up and then they get formed into a team and people who come up as a team.
Yeah.
And in this match, it you could really feel that, like, Santana and Ortiz came up as a team.
Yeah. And like I don't think they've looked like super good in AEW so far. And this is the first time I've looked at them. It's like, this is the LAX I've seen in Impact in the last 2 years. Like this is that team, or 3 years. This is that tag team, and here they are in a big national stage kicking ass.
I also really like the Omega and Page team.
I really like that they've like gone all the way to getting a title match. They haven't done like the cliched explosion. And I really like that they're just guys professionally getting the job done while in the ring, but like they don't even particularly like each other or interact with each other, even though they do have a cool double team finish with the buckshot lariat with the V trigger at the same time. That's a cool finish.
On being the Elite, I'll have you know that they are running a story where they're trying to like become friends, but they keep getting dragged apart by the Bucks unintentionally.
And that was the story of this match, where the Elite didn't want to fight until the very end, when Paige tagged, made a blind tag on, it was Matt or Nick Jackson, I think it was Matt, and Matt was like, "What?" He was very surprised.
Well, there was also the moment where the Bucks had a chance to tag in an Elite member, and they chose Kenny over Paige.
Yeah, betrayal.
Which really, but actually no, that actually speaks more of them seeing Paige as higher up, right? Because if they were going to tag in the person. Like, they're tagging the person that they don't want to win. So they think, oh, I'll tag in Kenny because he can't finish it.
You should, in theory, tag in the weak link, yes. So yeah. It's a disrespect to Kenny.
Yeah. That's like the dumb wrestling logic.
But, like, that is the logic of this match. It's like, you don't want to be on the apron because you can't win. If this was an elimination match, the logic is reversed. But you don't want to be on the apron because you can't win. If you're not in the ring, you can't win the match. And then... You won't be number contenders in the
match. Matt should have done the look and then tagged in Paige.
The disrespect. Yeah, but I don't think the audience would have gotten that, though, in fairness. Yeah. In terms of the visual storytelling,
but
snubbing
we
Paige,
would have gotten it.
We would have eventually like sussed it out the exact same way we did here, except the other way around. So Kenny Omega and Hangman Page will face SEU on the boat next week.
Then Cody Rhodes coming out Miami Vice looking.
God, Cody is the best entrance in wrestling. He's such an ace.
Yeah. This is like the time where I really saw it, too. I was like... Like, when he's, like, not so prim and proper, and he's kind of, like, letting his hair down a bit, that's when I like Cody the most.
He should always dress like he's in a 1980s film, or a Vice City
To be
game.
Fair, we should all always dress like we're in a 1980s film.
I'm going to make you live by that. From now on, you have to dress like a 1980s film on the podcast.
Right now, I'm kind of dressing like I'm in a 1990s grunge film, if that helps.
I have no way of verifying this, so you could really just say that you're doing it, but...
I think I'm trustworthy enough.
So Cody cut a pretty good promo about how he accepts the stipulations of MJF. He'll face him in Atlanta in about a month. When's that, Matt? That Atlanta show is not for a while, isn't it?
It's It's like 20 years away. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, so he'll face Wardlow. He won't touch MJF before Revolution. And he will accept. I wanted him to turn down the 10 lashes and accept 20. But now he said 10. He'll accept the 10. And when that happened, we don't know. But yeah, MJF and Cody is, as of right now, on for Revolution.
I hope he does the whole, please, sir, I'll have another.
Yeah. That's I kind of wanted to do that here. It's like, you want to give me 10 lashes, I'll take 20. And everyone would be like, wow, yeah, you're tough.
But then that segment gets drawn out an extra 20 minutes because they have to wait a minute between each lash.
That's true. It would be unbearable. I would then criticize it when it happens in 3 weeks or whenever.
6 months.
Yeah, Cody's great here. Cody's always great. He's the eternal ace of this company.
Garrett. Mm-hmm. Mel.
Liam, please take us through Brandi Rhodes and Mel against Hikaru Shida and Chris Statlander in great detail.
Why did this match even occur?
Well, it was meant to be Awesome Kong, but Awesome Kong was injured.
Yeah, but I'm saying that was your out.
That's true.
You could have just not done the match.
You could have done a singles match. You could have done Statlander. Though people are kind of giving Shida and Statlander a pass here. I don't think they were good in this match either.
Statlander completely missed her shooting star deal.
It was a shooting star hand on the on the shoulder. It was very devastating.
I watched that and I just I wanted to be in the back and see Cody and Kenny and the Bucks' reaction to that.
Yeah, and like the moments before, she completely missed the kick as well. The kick to like create that separation was a fresh air. Yeah, this match no good. Like and like Hikaru Shida and Statlander have been very good in the show. Not good here either. This is maybe the worst match in AEW history. This match was dire.
I think far and away this is the worst match in AEW history.
My God.
What were your thoughts on Mel?
Mel, she looks tall. She looks taller than I realized.
Her name is Mel.
Her name is Mel. Just Mel. Brandi Rhodes.
Mel and... like a damn librarian.
Well, she should join the librarian. That would make more sense.
I think it's like, I want to like Mel too. I think Mel like has a cool aesthetic to her.
You have Brandi Rhodes, you have Awesome Kong, you have Dr. Luther, and you have Mel.
Mel. She the does. Nightmare Collective.
It's it just your spine tingles with fear and terror. You wake up in the middle of the night, startled out of the nightmare, and she's just like, Mel.
Dear God, it's Mel.
Oh. They should kill this angle. Yeah, she looks like she's looked taller in this match than she. That she has that going for her. She's tall.
They probably should have like just made it a singles match with Mel and Shida,
or Mel and Chris.
Also, Mel lost.
That's true.
She took the fall.
Well, in fairness,
you couldn't have Brandi lose.
They probably
who was a manager most of the time.
They probably stuck to the original format in which Mel was supposed to take the fall with Kong also in the match.
You don't have to.
But there's
you can change the format. You're in complete control. Wrestling is fake.
There is an inherent problem with the Nightmare Collective, though, that if Kong is not the star, this is a Kong vehicle, and if Kong is injured, then it becomes a Brandi Rhodes vehicle. So nope. Brandi Rhodes is the one you kind of, is it a Mel vehicle? Is it a Dr. Luther vehicle?
Yeah, it should be a Mel vehicle, because Brandi Rhodes' character is that she's a manipulator, not that she is a leader.
But then, Mel, you really want to hang
she
this on Mel,
she could have taken
Liam?
The fall. I'm going to die on the Mel Hill.
Which is separate from a Mole Hill.
One day, Mel is going to be a star in this company, and I'm going to have the biggest victory lap. Making a mountain out of a Mel Hill. The Dark Order.
Oh, yes, the Dark Order are back. They're specifically... people have problems with this promo, and I very much agree that the premise of these Dark Order promos, Liam, are that they are paid for by the Dark Order to appear on air. Yeah. So they decided to take this video of them outlining their entire strategy and then put it on the television show.
Yep.
There is actually... There's a broader theory. You know, email phishing schemes?
Yes.
The idea is that they are supposed to be so ridiculous that like the average person who is not going to be caught by them is going to dismiss it out of hand. So like the people that actually reply to them, they're so ridiculous and so absurd and so like clearly a scam that the people that actually reply to them are people that are much more likely to be like actively scammed. So it's a filtering device. It filters out all the people that are like smart, and the people that reply are stupid, and they're much more likely, you're much more likely to scam them. So this is what that is. This is like, we're going to put it all out there as like, we're going to cast our net out and see what we get. It's actually brilliant strategy from the Dark Order.
Adversely, mm-hmm. Adam Page, who at this point is drunk, will be watching that and go, oh, they like me.
The elite don't like him.
Thus convincing him to join the Dark Order. You know what annoys me about the whole Marty re-signing deal?
Go on.
We were so correct about everything. We were so correct that Page was going to be join him. We were correct that Dark Order was a subsidiary of Villain Enterprises. We were right about everything.
Dave Meltzer reported that today, that the Dark Order was basically building toward the debut of Marty Scurll. But as you might have heard, Marty Scurll was offered a boatload of money and the book. So he's staying in Ring of Honor.
You can't even, like, getting that kind of, you can't even blame the guy, can you?
Yeah, you're booking yourself and you're getting shitloads of money. Sure.
Plus, like, assuming the contract isn't 10 years, AEW will probably still be around by the time it comes up.
Yeah, he's 31, assuming an average contract length of about 3 years. He'll be 34 when he gets out of it, which is still in his prime. And one will assume he won't
Kenny
book
now.
Himself so far into the ground that he's not of any value.
Yeah, like, he will come out of this a star still, so. I do wonder, like, because, like, the story that came out was that he was supposed to debut in December, right?
That Dark Order segment, the last show before Christmas, in theory, was meant to be the debut of Marty Scurll, which that segment, admittedly, would have worked much better if it was the debut of Marty Scurll.
Also, that was what we said. But, like, if that was the case, I wonder if, like, this new deal that they got would have been a turning point on it, the new deal with TNT.
A new turning point on which?
On, like, hey, let's just throw boatloads of money at Marty Scurll, or if they just didn't see the particular value at that point in time.
I think that deal is still not like, whoa, we're going to go swimming in money kind of money. I think that deal is, we're going to actually probably be profitable next year kind of money.
Yeah, it's interesting regardless.
And I kind of like that they're not just like, give them $1 million, because that's the stupid WWE thing to do.
They're in here for the long haul, or at least the 3 year haul.
Yes. And they're probably already throwing stupid money out at Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley, so they probably can't throw stupid money out at everybody.
And Luke Harper.
Who's
going to be the leader of the Dark Order now, Garrett? I want your predictions now, because we were correct last time.
Giovanni from Team Rocket.
Wow, that's a bold choice.
Do you remember the early Pokemon episodes when he was communicating with Team Rocket? Yeah. He was like a shadowy figure in the background communicating on, like, so that's him. That's Giovanni.
You know who my prediction is?
Marty Scurll.
Orange Cassidy.
That would be quite a twist.
Wouldn't that be the best? Just like cuts to like the chair and it's just Orange Cassidy and he chucks up a thumb.
So in that instance, you then just turn the Dark Order into Orange Cassidy knockoffs? They all just start wearing like the people in the crowd Orange Cassidy cosplay?
Yeah, they start wearing the double like jean look, and then but they also have the mask still with the glasses over the masks.
But you have to make them blue denim masks.
Yeah.
Jon Moxley defeated Sammy Guevara in a very good wrestling match. I like this match a lot. It's a good TV match.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty fun.
Remember last week when I was like, oh, they'll have a 9 minute 3 1/4 star match? They had a 9 minute 3 1/4 star match.
Yep.
Which was, yeah, good fun. Mox won.
Sammy's still great at
Sammy
everything.
Sammy is great. Like, we'll talk about the post-match more in a second, but like in the post-match, they're holding back. He just lost clean to Jon Moxley, and they're holding him, the Inner Circle attack him, they're holding Jon Moxley back, and Sammy just starts bitch-slapping him as if he's in a position of dominance, despite just being beaten.
As if he had earned this. I knew I was tougher. I proved it.
It's the best. He's a little runt. It's the best. I love Sammy. Sammy's great.
See, like, this is what makes me angry about AEW. I've just had like a mini introspective moment. Like, this is what I want the show to be all the time. Why can't the show be this all the time?
You get it every second week, Liam. What more do you want?
I want it all the time.
It's very selfish.
How will, when we go to having another show, will it be every second show? So it'll be like, Dynamite is good, Dark is bad, AEW Lightning is good, but then Dynamite is bad, but then Dark is good.
Well, isn't the rumblings that they're they're moving dark to TV.
According to who? Whoever you listen to.
That was from the head of Turner, so I'd imagine.
Yeah, well, depending on who you listen to, okay.
Yeah, so dark will always be bad.
Did
which,
Ted
in
say
fairness,
it, huh?
No.
Yeah, exactly. That's the only head of Turner I respect.
Dark is usually bad, though, to be fair.
Dark is occasionally good, though.
When they actually put
when
good
they have
wrestlers
a Kenny singles match.
Yes. They're like, hey, let's put one of our good wrestlers isn't wrestling on TV this week. Let's put him on Dark. And then you get the Young Bucks against Strong Hearts. And you're like, ooh.
Oh, yeah. The Strong Hearts were on Dark this week.
The Wrestling Jurassic Express. Yeah.
And I'm sure they won.
Yeah, sure didn't.
Wait, which Strong Hearts members were there? Was it Lindemann and T-Hawk?
I assume it was Lindemann and T-Hawk, but who knows? Maybe it was a six-man, actually. I didn't actually read the results that clearly. We'll find out on Dark next week.
Former Wrestle 1 champ.
A true Wrestle 1 ace. No, not anymore. No, different invader.
Whoa. What do you mean true Wrestle 1 ace?
Who'd he beat?
That's not how it works. That's not how ace-ship works. You don't just beat the ace and you become the ace.
Hey, Ishino was beaten, and then he didn't even get his title back.
But that logic, Will Ospreay was ace of New Japan for a bit.
Yeah, we're going to start the linear ace.
The linear ace is such a great concept.
Whoever gets the most recent pinfall on
you'd
the ace.
You'd have to go from when Tanahashi like first started being like declared as the ace, and then just like every loss from that point.
Find out who is in fact the linear ace. It's probably just Okada. I guarantee it's probably Okada.
Or like AJ, because like the thing would always be that like one would beat one, and then the other would beat the other one, but couldn't beat the other one.
So actually, now that I say it can't be Okada, because Okada lost his last match, so it's probably Naito.
Well, to be fair, it probably would have been off of Tanahashi for, like, years at this point.
Yeah.
It's probably, like, Sho.
It probably is. Sho or Chuck.
It's probably, like, somehow in Old Japan now, and it's, like, Kento Miyahara.
Someone work that out. Whenever Tanahashi was called Ace, work out who the linear Ace is.
Mm. Go, linear Ace.
John Moxley was attacked by the Inner Circle. A really good beatdown, because when like Jericho's music hit, when Judas hit, the crowd, like, huge reaction, because Jericho's a huge star. And by the time they beat up John Moxley relentlessly, there was, like, real heat there. It's like, oh, that's good pro wrestling.
I think, like, this works so well because Jericho came off as legitimately unhinged and as a threat. Like, this wasn't jokey, haha, Jericho, this was the Painmaker.
Yeah, stabbing a guy in the eye with a spike does that.
With a dull spike.
Mm. How do you know?
I saw it.
Oh, well, fine.
He held it up to the camera multiple times.
Mr. Master of Pointy Things.
I am.
Pointiest.
And also, what was annoying, at the end, like, Jericho's cutting his promo into the camera, but Tony would not shut up. So I was, like, trying to listen to Jericho, but I had Tony going over it.
Don't you disrespect Tony. He can say whatever he wants.
At the start of the show, where Tony's just like, hi, JR. Hi, Excalibur. Excalibur's just like, hi, Tony.
He's a gent.
I like Tony.
He's just there to have a good time.
He's not even there to get paid. He's just there to have a good time.
After the match, Chris Jericho cut, a really good promo on John Moxley about he was blind and he was going to kick that. He was like, I'm going to beat the, I think he said crap. And he's like, no, shit out of you. He's like, I don't need to censor myself.
He's like, I get the one allowed shit on TNT.
Yeah, it's like Mox is out of the title picture. It's going to be Pac and Darby for number one contendership.
That was a really good line.
He's like, he doesn't even count anymore.
That was a good line. I like that a lot.
Then as they were walking away, Jake Hager put a hand over his eye to simulate a pirate / being blinded.
Arr.
And they said, arr, into the camera, which is the best thing Jake Hager has ever. I don't need him to wrestle.
Because Mox is going to be a pirate on the boat.
He was a pirate already on the show. Yeah, if he doesn't hijack
the
boat.
But I want him to come out in full Captain Feather Sword regalia.
I want him to come up to the boat on a boat of his own and actually hijack the boat.
But the boat is the car.
Yes, he's turned the Ford GT or whatever into a boat.
Into a car. And he's there with his first mate, Mel.
Yeah, Mel.
Put the planks down, Mel.
Oh.
This is delirium.
Again, 5:17 in the morning. It's not my fault.
Well, we got to MJF, The Butcher and the Blade versus Diamond Dallas Page, Dustin Rhodes, and QT Marshall.
This match is great.
QT does more of his dumb, cool flips.
I love him.
They should sell that I Bang Dallas's Daughter shirt. People would buy that.
Do you want people buying that, though?
I mean, not if I'm Diamond Dallas, but I'm not.
That's true. DDP looked real good. He hit his shit. He did a diamond cutter. He did a big dive. He's 63. He's 63.
Like, he got so much offense.
I don't mind. For some reason, as I said, I was mad about this last week because it was like 4-on-1 and he was fighting off all these people by himself. I'm kind of fine with him within the context of a wrestling match getting a hot tag.
But like, he didn't take anything.
Well, he's not going to take a bump. He's 63. He'll fall into dust.
But then don't do the six, man.
I'm fine with him, dude. He doesn't need to take a bump.
If you aren't willing to bump for MJF or at least be rolled up in the same manner that QT Marshall was.
He probably should have taken the fall. I agree with you there. But I'm fine with everything DDP did in this match.
Bang!
Even though, actually, now that you mentioned the bang, when DDP did his entrance, God forbid the AEW cameraman stay on DDP doing his iconic bang. They missed the bang!
DDP's entrance makes me mad because it's me, DDP. I'm like, no, it's me. Mm. You get two of them.
AEW music, come on.
I don't actually mind the song. It's a fine just rip-off of all of his other themes, but...
There is, like, a weird through line of, like, obviously his original WCW theme was a rip-off of Smells Like Teen Spirit. And then you have, like, weird spins on the rip-off. So you get, like, rip-offs of rip-offs and, like, spin-offs of rip-offs. It's fascinating.
I like that they still got a self-high-five in there, though.
As well they should, because that's his entire shtick.
If true that. I like TDP's attire. It was his older tie, but it had the DDP yoga color on the side too.
I like that he actually wore gear as well, because if I remember when he did like
he
Rumble
didn't
and
look bad.
Yeah, when he did like Rumble stuff and WWE stuff, he didn't wear gear.
It looked like DDP
again. 63.
Good work, DDP.
Wardlow will face Cody in the cage match on February 19th. By the way, which is a.
Have you seen much Wardlow? I think I've asked this before.
I don't think I've ever seen any Wardlow.
Should we watch a Wardlow match to see if this cage match will be good?
I would like to be pleasantly surprised or upset with Wardlow, so I'll go in fresh. That match is a month away, by the way.
Oh, Jesus. Can we get... especially if you're going to have, like, two shows that people are going to watch now, even if you had a normal pay-per-view schedule, that's 8 shows between pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Like, now it's going to be, like, 24 between each pay-per-view.
That's a lot of wrestling.
That's a lot of wrestling that, like, you have to stop and start feuds with. You're already doing it by having, like, Jericho having a mini feud with the Jurassic Express. And there was another one that I'm blanking on, but it's just like, I don't like this, man. I need more big shows, damn it. Well.
Break the walls down.
It's the big show!
Our main event.
You didn't do the end Jericho!
No, I'm not. For the second half of the number one contendership, kind of, it's not a tournament, but qualifier, I guess. Pac against Darby Allin. Hell of a wrestling match, Liam.
He is all right.
Pac, very good wrestler. Darby Allin, very good wrestler.
I like how mean Pac is.
He's very mean, and Darby is the perfect person for him to be mean to, because he's very sympathetic, and you can beat the hell out of him.
Part of me wishes that this was like 2012 Pac, and it was just dumb, flippy bullshit.
I don't know. I like 2020 Pac a lot.
I like 2020 Pac a lot too, but like sometimes, but you when you put him in like there with Darby or like his matches with Will, that's when I just were like, just show me the old Pac, just for one match, just do it.
I don't know. I think it works better as the contour, because if it's then it's just two guys doing flips, whereas here it's
yeah, but I like that.
All right, I like the contrast that new Pac brings to people like Darby Allin, because he's a bully. Mm. He's like he shouldn't be a bully.
I get that. Yeah, he shouldn't. Why is this man a bully? Yeah, but he is.
Look at this angry man who is not the tallest in the world, but he is supremely jacked. And he's just a bully. He's just a mean bully who hits people and hurts people, and he's mean.
This match reminded me of his big Dragon Gate matches.
I didn't watch any of them.
You didn't watch the Casey match?
I've watched none of them, no. Actually, I might have watched one. Did I? I don't remember. If I did, I don't remember it.
Did you watch him lose the title?
No. I've watched a Dragon Gate match in like 3 years.
Show's cancelled.
This isn't a Dragon Gate card. This is an Open the Voice gate. On the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Great main event. Pack one.
Yeah. This is probably like the least interested I was in a match. Because like, I was already broken down from the other matches. I was like, I had my nostalgia. I had my head in my hands for the entire match. I had my good flippy bullshit. I was like, I'm done.
Your attention span just doesn't allow that long.
I think I was burnt out, honestly.
You should go back and watch this match when you're not burnt out. This match is a great wrestling match, Liam.
To be fair, I was also watching this match at what point? It would have been 2 a.m.
Well, it's 5:23 a.m. and I'm perfectly alert.
You just spent 20 minutes laughing at the name Mel.
Listen, that's good audio. It's for our listeners.
I mean, yeah, I do think that's some of the best work we've done.
Mel.
Speaking of some of the best work they've done, Tony interviews Pac after the match.
Yeah, then he's like, Mox won't be there. I'm number one contender by forfeit. Before Mox is like, oh, I'm in an ambulance. No, I'm not in an ambulance. My eyes...
Venom Mox comes out.
That's sure a reference that I'm, I assume is...
It's a Metal Gear reference.
Sure.
Metal Gear 5.
I don't remember Venom Snake from the 20-minute presentation, PowerPoint presentation. Oh, 20
minutes? That was an hour.
I like the way you make it worse. The PowerPoint presentation you once gave me on the history of Metal Gear.
Yeah. Well, Venom Snake is the fake Snake.
Okay.
Who was a clone of the original Snake, but not any of the other clones. Actually, no, he wasn't a clone. I'm getting mixed up. He was a medicine man who had plastic surgery to look like Snake. So Snake could go off and do other things, and he could be like the public face of Snake.
Why? What was Snake doing while this was happening?
Kind of going crazy.
Hideo Kojima has to be stopped.
He needs to be given money.
He was. Have you seen Death Stranding?
Yeah, it rules.
Have you played Death Stranding?
No.
You clearly don't like him that much, do you?
I've watched it, though.
That's not playing it.
Do you think he'll... This is not a game podcast. I was going to be like, do you think he's going to ever buy the rights back to the Metal Gear franchise? It's like, that's not the point of the topic here.
No, it's probably far too much money. That's my answer to your question.
They should give him the rights.
Yeah. Pac against Mox for number one contendership next week. Fair enough, he wasn't actually officially number one contender, but like in my head, Moxie was already number one contender because he was already like doing the feud with Jericho.
That's your WWE mind.
Well, no, because he spent like 4 weeks feuding with the world champion.
Yeah, but he hadn't earned it.
He has. He was the top contender.
No, but he hadn't earned it.
But he was number one in the rankings.
Because the rankings got reset, Garrett.
Oh, unfortunate. He was still top of the rankings.
Yeah, I was going to say, if the rankings get reset and you're number one, you should be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I was number one before they reset. I'm still number one after they reset, and he still has to become number one contender.
They should do a year-long storyline with someone who was losing, and like they finally earn their way up to being the number one, and then it resets.
It's like, sorry, bad timing.
Like, literally on the last Dynamite of the year, they beat, like, the number two contender and make their way to being the number one and then reset.
Back of the line you go. Which was your match of the week, Liam? There were some good matches this week.
Yeah, it's going to be one of the tags. I'm going to have to go with Brandi Rhodes and Mel.
Oh, no.
No, I'm going to go with the AEW tag, just because I think you're going to go with the other one.
I was contemplating going to Pac and Darby for a while there.
Well, then I'll go with the NXT tag. I'll
in the end go with the NXT tag.
God damn it! You know what these shows felt like, Garrett?
Good wrestling shows?
It felt like a classic. AEW was way more interesting, but I might have liked the in-ring on NXT more.
I liked one of the in-ring on NXT more.
Well, that my point has been definitely struck through.
Listen, different strokes for different folks. It's fine.
How'd the poll go?
Oh, the poll is actually that work. Actually, before we go to the poll, I vote AEW. Even if it wasn't for Alex Shelley, I'd still vote AEW. But Alex Shelley makes me doubly vote AEW. Stupid time splitters.
Well, I'll vote AEW as well.
Now, interestingly, last week NXT won 62% to 38%, a pretty comprehensive win. This week, AEW won 74% to 26%.
The conclusion that I'm drawing here is either AEW fans vote when they like it, and they don't vote when they don't like it.
There may be evidence for that based on the total vote number, 372 last week to 148 this week.
Hmm.
But still, that's a big turnaround.
I mean, deservedly so. Can we just have this show every week? Fuck's sake.
That's true.
Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
Before we go, Liam, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me at Wrestle1.
It's a good wrestling company.
Go watch it. Nakajima's champ. That's pretty cool.
A failed ace. who has allowed two people to come in and take his title. Come on.
Yeah, well, Dyke Inaba sucks, so... Ashina will beat him, and he will bring back honor.
If you would like to follow us on Twitter and vote in the poll every week, you can follow us at WarGamesPod. If you would like more AEW coverage in your podcast feeds, you can look at that podcast called Everything Elite if you follow the main Voices of Wrestling feed. You can listen to that, where they talk about Everything Elite, including the second AEW show and the renewal and all the ratings and fun stuff like that that we don't really... we touched on a little here. It was mostly Liam dragging it in. Or you can listen to Shake Them Ropes covering all of this stuff.
We talk about the greater AEW world.
This is not the remit of the podcast, Liam.
Mel
indeed. Thanks for listening, and Mel.
Bye, Mel.
Just Mel. Goodbye to Mel.
Mel.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.